From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message entitled Dealing with Our Achans, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. Fellowship with Him. When we were united by faith to Christ, we were brought into such complete fellowship with Him that we were made one with Him, and His interests and ours became mutual and identical. We have fellowship with Christ in His love. What He loves, we love. He loves the saints, so do we. He loves sinners, so do we. He loves the poor perishing race of man, and pants to see earth's deserts transformed into the garden of the Lord. So do we. We have fellowship with Him in His desires. He desires the glory of God. We also labor for the same. He desires that the saints may be with Him where He is. We desire to be with Him there too. He desires to drive out sin. Behold, we fight under His banner. He desires that His Father's name may be loved and adored by all His creatures. We pray daily, Let Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. We have fellowship with Christ in His sufferings. We are not nailed to the cross, nor do we die a cruel death. But when He is reproached, we are reproached. And a very sweet thing it is to be blamed for His sake, to be despised for following the Master, to have the world against us. The disciple should not be above his Lord. In measure we commune with Him in His labors, ministering to men by the word of truth and by deeds of love. Our meat and our drink, like His, is to do the will of Him who hath sent us and to finish His work. We have also fellowship with Christ in His joys. We are happy in His happiness. We rejoice in His exaltation. Have you ever tasted that joy, believer? There is no purer, more thrilling delight to be known this side of heaven than that of having Christ's joy fulfilled in us, that our joy may be full. His glory awaits us to complete our fellowship, for His church shall sit with Him upon His throne as His well-beloved bride and queen. Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Dr. Cairns has been taking another look at Achan, the man whose greed ultimately destroyed himself and his family. Dr. Cairns is applying the sin of Achan to the lives of God's people, showing how one single sin, embraced and unconfessed, can halt progress in the Christian's life. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, sin tolerated in any part of life will nullify spiritual efforts in every other part of life. In the case of Achan, God ordered radical action. The guilty man and everything that belonged to him was put to death. Similar action is required in the life of a Christian who is harboring some sin. The Bible calls upon God's people to mortify their members which are upon the earth. It's important to understand that this matter of mortification is a constant, ongoing process, not merely a sporadic effort. The goal is real holiness of life, not just the appearance of it. Yet, if we deal honestly and drastically with sin, God has promised to restore us to victory in our Christian lives and enable us to live full lives in the service of Christ. Now to conclude this message, Dealing with Our Achans, here is Dr. Cairns.
A carnal man is happy so long as his sin is not found out. But a godly man groans within his soul, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He groans though no other man on earth knows of his sin. He wants real holiness. And that leads me to say this then, that mortification involves these vital elements. Recognizing the source of the problem. Solomon in his great prayer prayed that every man in his prayer would know the plague of his own heart. That's the source of the problem, the plague of the heart. Self-love, self-indulgence,
Self is the great enemy of godliness. We blame a lot on Satan that we would do better to blame on self. Oh, he'll exacerbate it. But as I've often said, if Satan were dead and buried tomorrow, self would be just as depraved and wicked and ungodly as ever it has been. And then mortification involves remembering the Word of God. This is the vital place that Scripture has in a holy life. Remembering the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 9 asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Two verses later, the psalmist says in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word hidden in the heart. My friend, this is vital if we're going to be earnest in this matter of holiness. We recognize the source of our trouble. It's this old man, this carnal man within us. We must get God's word in. So many Christians are so cavalier in their treatment of Scripture. They come to the Bible, they want to read the shortest psalm they can find to salve their conscience before they go to sleep. They don't take time to read the Bible. They don't take time to memorize the Bible. They don't take time to meditate upon the Bible. And when trouble comes to their mind, there's not a Bible text that ever they can call to mind to deal with that trouble. And then they wonder why life is out of control for them. You must remember God's word. And then mortification goes further. It's not only recognizing the source of the trouble, remembering God's word, but it is acting against the temptation to sin and the first rising of that sin. Now that's what Achan should have done. When Achan went in there among the ruins of Jericho, he says that he looked, he saw, he coveted, and then he took. As soon as the temptation was presented to his mind, that's the moment that Achan should have called to mind the Word of God. That's the moment that he should have acted against his sin. In the moment of temptation, and I say this to you today, that if God's people would act against the temptation and the very first stirring of sin and lust, they would know the power of mortification and victory. But so often, God's people tarry in the place of temptation. They expose themselves to the influences of temptation. They weaken their own defenses. And then they fall. With great lamentation, they wonder, how did it happen? Well, if you're in any doubt as to how it happened, let me ask you to perform a little experiment. Now, I don't really want you to do this. I'm just simply saying, if you're in any doubt, I'm pointing up by the absurd that you're not in any doubt at all. But if you think you're in doubt, you just light a Bunsen burner and stick your hand in the flame and hold it there for 5 minutes and then go to the doctor and say, I really can't understand why I'm all burned and blistered. And I guarantee your next stop will be at Marshall Pickens. And for visitors, that's our lunatic area. Now, temptation. We come and we hold our hand in the flame. And then we cry, Lord, why am I getting burned? Deal not with the great
final eruption of sin, but with the first temptation and the first rising of the sin. And you'll never have to deal with the full-blown thing. Mortification is acting against the temptation. As Paul put it in Romans 13, verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, literally, unto lusts. Make not provision for the flesh unto lusts. Whatever stirs the flesh to lust, make no provision for it. That's the command. Deal with the temptation. And I would say that acting against temptation, acting against the very first attack of the devil, in the full knowledge of the weakness of your own heart and the wickedness of the old man, will be the greatest initial step in leading to Christian victory. But of course, all this will be meaningless without this final element in mortification, which is getting to the cross. Get to the cross. In temptation, in trouble, in battling sin, the flesh, the world, and the devil, make a beeline for Calvary. Get to the cross. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, they that are Christ's crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now that's the very same truth as we read this morning in Romans chapter 6. When it says they crucified the flesh, it's a reference to their identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 6 verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is or was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Do you see what he's saying? He says, know what happened at Calvary. Know your union with Christ. Know your identification with Christ. Know that when Christ died, you died legally in the sight of God. And when you really understand what happened at Calvary, there is a fruit, a result in your life. And the result is that the body of sin is destroyed. Now, that is the ultimate, and it will be ultimately and perfectly destroyed. But in the meantime, verse 7, we are justified from sin, and being justified from sin, we are to live in victory. Look at verse 11 and 12. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. He says, get to the cross. And when you understand your oneness with Christ, when you understand truly what it is, when it fills your mind that when Christ died, he died for me. He died as me, and I died in him, and I rose again in him. I am a new creature in him. I have the Holy Spirit, therefore, within me. The down payment of the glorified state, the beginning of heaven, the Holy Spirit within me, because I'm in union with Christ. I have power to be holy, and I have power to live above the world and sin, with heart made pure and garment white and Christ enthroned within. That's mortification. And that's the radical treatment of sin to which God calls every one of us. We deal with sin as Israel dealt with Achan. And finally, let me say this, that when we deal with sin, God will restore his presence and his power in our service.
We read in the book of Joshua that after the stoning of Achan, that the Lord turned from the fierceness of His anger. In the next chapter you read of His blessing, where before there had been failure. Ai was taken, and the people went on, once sin was dealt with. It's very interesting that the place where Achan was stoned is called the Valley of Achor. And Hosea 2:15 says, of Israel I will give her vineyards from thence. Now listen to this. And the Valley of Achor for a door of hope. If you're in this meeting this morning and you feel you've lost out with God, you're a Christian, and you look back and say, there was a time when I so enjoyed my fellowship with the Savior. I so enjoyed serving the Savior. And it appeared that my life was counting something for God. But here I am today, and I've lost out with God. I'm far away from fellowship. It all seems hopeless. I want to tell you, there is a door of hope. There's a door of restoration. There's a door of forgiveness. There's a door of re-empowerment. And it's in the Valley of Achor. It's in the place where you deal with your Achan. I read to you earlier from Isaiah 58, where secret sin had destroyed their public service. A little later in that chapter, verses 8 and 9, God gives a promise to those who will deal with their sin. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. That's restoration. That's to the very people who have lost out with God because of sin tolerated in one part, ruining all the rest. God calls us to a radical treatment of our sin, but He gives us the promise that when we deal with our Achans, He will conquer our Ais. May God teach us all who name His name, who believe in His Son, who are truly saved, because only Christians can mortify sin. The ungodly can't mortify sin. They must be born again before they can even begin to battle sin. But if, may God take this to every Christian and teach us what it is through the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body and live our lives to the full in the service of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Teach me, O Lord, the true meaning of mortification of sin. Teach it to every Christian here. O God, we pray that however hard it is in the flesh, Thou wilt bring us to the Valley of Achor. And Lord, bring us therefore to the door of hope. Restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Lord, restore the lives that today are in disarray. And God grant that Thy people will be taught the victory of the cross. Hear our prayer and give us an abundant answer. Part us with Thy blessing, and may we go from this place by God's grace to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Grant that Thy grace, mercy, and peace will now be our abiding portion this day. and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.